Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at wvhtf.org.
The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at wvaflcio.org.
At the legislature today, prison overcrowding is still an issue as the Commissioner of Corrections gives lawmakers an update about sending West Virginia inmates to out-of-state prisons. And senators learned today that about $2 million a year are not making it into the state's road fund. We'll tell you why. And we'll talk about the ongoing state of emergency and the effect it's had on small businesses in the region with Secretary of State Natalie Tennant on the legislature today. And good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. The House passed a bill today that's been traveling around the country, which delegates believe will close a loophole in current law on actions for putting down dogs that commit violent attacks on humans. Aaron Payne reports.
An amendment presented on the floor officially deemed House Bill 2757 to be referred to as the private cause of action for the humane destruction of a dog bill. However, it may also be known by its short title, Felicity's Law. Felicity was a two-year-old girl who wandered away, unbeknownst to everyone, from a birthday party and was viciously attacked by two dogs. It took repeated surgeries for her to recover from her injuries. Since there was no criminal negligence on the part of the dog's owners, no legal action could be taken by her parents in a criminal or private case under current law. The bill's lead sponsor, Delegate Isaac Spinagle from Pendleton County, explained this bill will fix the loophole.
Currently, West Virginia law does not provide a statute that gives rise to a private cause of action for the humane destruction of a vicious or dangerous dog that attacks a person. We have that under the law currently for livestock or sheep or other animals, but not for people or children. This law corrects that action. It provides that if a person is attacked and the result of their injuries are greater than $1,000 or greater, or if a dog has attacked two or more people in the past 2 years, then an individual may go to the magistrate court and file a petition to have the humane officer bring and put down the dog.
Delegates then spoke on the floor urging the passage of the bill, with Delegate Steve Westfall saying that protecting citizens is a bipartisan issue.
Let me be clear. The safety of the people of West Virginia and especially the children of West Virginia is neither Democrat or Republican. House Bill 2757 is a measure that can bring safety and security to our homes and community. This bill will enable the public to eliminate the threat of vicious dogs attacks from happening from the same dog twice. I was raised and born on a dairy farm. Dogs were a very important part of our life. We speak for the people of West Virginia. Regardless of age or creed, we are the people's voice. This bill will not stop a dog from biting a person. It will stop a dog from biting a person the second time.
Delegate Scott Cadle, while agreeing the bill should be passed, voiced concerns the bill would prevent dogs from protecting their owners.
And personally, at my house, you know, we have German Shepherds. My dog runs to meet you. He wants to play. But if you come in the house and you're not invited, it'd be a bad day for you. But I just hope this bill doesn't penalize people, you know, for somebody coming in your house trespassing. And I'll vote for this bill, but I hope it helps us out. Thank you.
The House Judiciary Committee felt victims who were trespassing at the time of the attack would not be protected by this law. In the bill, it states those seeking relief under this article must affirm the petitioner was not at fault under the attack. Before the bill was put to a vote, Delegate Alan Evans introduced the delegates to Felicity Jenkins, the bill's namesake.
Felicity was up in the gallery. I introduced her before, but I just wanted you to see her a little close and up personal, and this is who you'll be voting for.
The House passed the bill unanimously, and it now moves on to the Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
Senators focused on ways to reduce costs today in a variety of areas. In the Senate Finance Committee, they focused on reducing the rate county governments pay to house their inmates at regional jails, a rate that's already one of the lowest in the nation. On the floor, the focus was once again on reducing gas prices by repealing outdated sections of the code. Ashton Mara reports.
In the Division of Corrections budget hearing this morning, Commissioner Jim Rubenstein told members of the Senate Finance Committee he was in full agreement and support of Governor Tomlin's proposed budget for his division. The proposal includes budget increases for portions of Senate Bill 371, the governor's prison reform bill passed last year that were previously unfunded. Rubenstein said that includes the transfer of the Salem Industrial Home for Youth to the Salem Correctional Center.
The Salem Correctional Center, it houses 388 male inmates, and the funding that we received during the transfer from juvenile services was not sufficient to operate a 388-bed facility. So the governor has proposed the additional funding for us to operate that facility properly.
Over the past few months, Rubenstein, the Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, and the governor's office have been in talks with private out-of-state prisons to help ease the state's overcrowding issue. Corrections Corporation of America, a Nashville-based company, was the only organization to bid on housing the prisoners. And Senator Bill Laird questioned if the division's budget included the cost of sending inmates to the Kentucky facility.
There's a line item that was only payments to regional jails, and that line item now lifted that restriction, and all it's basically an operational funding to not only make the payments to the regional jails but to allow us in other operational type areas. So, you know, through the secretary's office, that figure is in the governor's office, and we don't have word back yet whether there's a green light to proceed or what that outcome will be.
Also on the agenda today, the Senate Finance Committee took up Senate Bill 158, allowing the Regional Jail Authority to reassess their per diem, or the daily rate they charge counties to house inmates.
The current rule is very simplistic. It just says that we take our operating expenses from the prior year and divide the number of incarcerating days that we had for inmates into those operating expenses, and that gets us a daily cost. And while that's true, what that rule doesn't take into account is the Regional Jail Authority does have some ancillary revenues that we bring in when we sell commissary items to inmates, snacks and things like that in the jails. Also, when the inmates use phones and make phone calls, there's a fee associated with that. So what this rule allows us to do is to take into account that ancillary revenue that we bring in and use it to offset the cost of that per diem to where we can ultimately have a little lower per diem for our county governments.
DeLong says this rule doesn't allow the authority to do anything new when calculating their daily rate, but instead brings the rule in line with what they are already doing. It also does not allow the regional jails to increase their per diem when calculating in new or additional revenue sources. It wasn't a new revenue source that sparked discussion on the Senate floor, but instead a revenue stream the state has been collecting for decades. Revenue one senator says we've simply been giving away. Senate Bill 421 repeals an old section of code dealing with gasoline tax collections. Senator Herb Snyder is the bill's lead sponsor and explains the Senate's gas tax is collected from large oil companies who fill up tanker trucks at terminals and then deliver the fuel to local gas stations.
When those tankers pull into the gas station, that tax has already been paid and will be remitted to the state of West Virginia. It was paid wherever they filled that big truck up. Now, of course, you're going to ultimately pay for it at the pump, but it's already literally been collected to send to the state of West Virginia. But in that statute, there's a discount that the companies, these are bigger oil companies, that collect this tax, get to keep 3/4 of 1% of that tax just for filling out the form and turning it in.
That 3/4 of 1%, however, adds up to a little less than $2.5 million in lost revenues for the state road fund each year. Senator Craig Blair is the bill's co-sponsor and says no one else is receiving a credit for the sales tax they collect.
If that's the case, then we need to start giving a tax credit or a percentage of it back to all the retailers out here and all the grocers and everybody else that collects the sales tax. We can't be picking individuals. I say let's get that off the books, get that $2.5 million back into the road fund and get it turned into asphalt. And there's not one place in the state that we don't need that.
Snyder believes the section of code may also be unconstitutional. He says the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals has ruled in the past the state road fund may only be used to build and maintain highways. By giving the money to gasoline wholesalers, he believes the state is violating that order. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
In a moment, we'll go over the process of filing to run for public office with the Secretary of State. First, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today. Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 419, to provide amnesty from certain offenses for a person who seeks health care for someone or for himself or herself who is experiencing a drug overdose. Senate Bill 421, to remove certain discounts from the motor fuel excise tax. Senate Bill 422, to provide financial aid to students who are pursuing certain professional degrees which are not offered in this state to pursue those degrees in another state in return for a service commitment in West Virginia. Senate Bill 423, to permit expungement of certain felony convictions. Senate Bill 426, to alleviate any lapse in filling vacancies on certain higher education commissions, councils, and boards, and to ensure that members are not forced to serve beyond their appointment time. Up for passage in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 58, clarifying when a marriage may be voided or annulled, and Senate Bill 350, to require the Commissioner of Agriculture to propose rules for the West Virginia Department of Agriculture Rural Rehabilitation Loan Program. The rules must prohibit department employees and loan committee members and their immediate family members from receiving program loans. On second reading on the Senate floor tomorrow, Senate Bill 12, to allow for expedited partner therapy. It would permit prescribing antibiotics for a sexually transmitted disease for the partner of a patient without first examining the partner. Senate Bill 208, to continue the Rural Health Initiative and clarify funding mechanisms, auditing and reporting requirements, and strengthen accountability. Senate Bill 209, to require county boards of education to allow students with special needs to participate in graduation ceremonies with their peers. Senate Bill 310, adjusting penalties for willful failure to pay child support. And Senate Bill 359, to remove the hand canvassing requirements of electronic voting machines while leaving intact the recount provisions. The bill was recommended for passage by the Joint Committee on the Judiciary. Interested in running for public office during this election year? You have until Saturday at midnight to make up your mind. Joining us tonight, the state's chief elections officer, Natalie Tennant, is the 29th West Virginia Secretary of State. She was elected to her second four-year term in 2012. Madam Secretary, welcome back to the legislature today.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be here. We always have good discussions.
Yes, we do. Okay, let's start out this way. So if someone is interested in running for a public office and they know they have until Saturday on midnight on the 25th, the entire House, half the Senate, and circuit judges have to have their paperwork into the Secretary of State's office by midnight on the 25th.
Yes.
What's the process? What do they have to do?
Or postmarked by the 25th also. What you need to do is fill out your certificate of announcement, fill out all the particulars of your name, how it'll appear on the ballot, your address, all the pertinent information, and have it notarized and send it and or bring it into the Secretary of State's office. It is a filing fee of 1% of the salary, or for the House of Delegates, it's a 0.5% of the salary.
Okay.
And you become eligible to be on the ballot.
For the primary election.
Yes, for the primary election. And obviously you have to be nominated at the primary to get on the,
general election. The money that's generated from these filing fees, what does that go toward?
That money, even if it's collected in the Secretary of State's office, for us it goes back into the counties to pay for ballots, printing the ballots or programming the ballots. Mm-hmm. So it all goes back as part of election administration all across West Virginia. I want to remind folks that if they're running for office in a county, they need to file with their county clerk's office. Many county clerks will be open on Saturday. The Secretary of State's office will be open till midnight on Saturday mm-hmm. to allow folks to come in. Sometimes you followed the political process long enough to know that sometimes people like to make a last-minute surprise, and we're there to accommodate that if they want to come in.
Yeah, because it's a real chess game. You want to see who has filed before you decide which you're filing for. Why webcast candidate filing?
We have done that since 2010, and as a matter of fact, that last day in 2010, I think it was the 28th of January, was a snowy day. And we even had folks ask us, well, if I can't get in, are you going to extend the filing period? I don't have that authority. And what we did is that was our first webcast ever from the Secretary of State's office, and we just wanted to show people the process. I've always felt that if you had this transparency, that people would become a little more engaged. They wouldn't feel so intimidated. And so we have been webcasting filing period since 2010, and people just have an opportunity to see candidates come in, see the simplicity, how simple it is to be able to file. It's just part of our government. And when someone files, it's almost immediate. I can't say that it's real time because it takes time to input it. You can also see it up on the computer. You can see it in the computer.
You know, filing for office, I guess it's kind of a big deal because you go to Facebook and you see people taking their picture and they've got family around them and they've posted on Facebook that they're filing to run for re-election or something like that. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. You are stepping forward and you are putting yourself out there and saying, I want to be a leader in West Virginia, whether it's a county commission or a House of Delegates whatever office you're looking to run for. And for me, I've been on winning ends and losing ends, but you're always a winner if you set yourself forward and you put yourself out there. And so I just try to make that as public and open as we can. And I want to remind folks that this is the shortest filing period because in code it has the second filing period starts the second Monday in January and ends the last Saturday. Well, the last Saturday is now the 25th. So this is the shortest that it could ever be. 2 years ago, it was the longest that it ever was. It was about a 3-week filing period. So I want to remind folks that this Saturday is the day to make sure you file if you want to run.
Let's turn to the chemical spill and the water emergency that followed. The Secretary of State's office registers businesses. Every
Correct.
Business that is going to do business in this state has to register with the Secretary of State's office.
Yes.
Why? Why?
Because we register businesses so they know that, or the public knows that they are a business in good standing.
Okay.
You know, you obviously get your license from the tax department. Everything goes through the tax department. Sole proprietor goes through the tax department. We register corporations, limited liability companies, and then we have annual reports that continue to indicate who your officers are, what your address is, in case there is a service of process and there's something filed against you. That is on record and that is made public.
Okay.
And that's why I say that the Secretary of State's office is on the front lines for businesses, and we have made it so much easier to do business because, as you know, 96% of our economy in West Virginia is small businesses. And I have always felt, as a small business owner, I know my skill and I want to be able to make my product. I don't want to have to worry about paperwork. And so we've made it so much easier and streamlined for businesses to be able to function in West Virginia.
Okay, but what can you tell me about Freedom Industries?
So, well, Freedom Industries, they had been registered since 1992 as a company. And as folks know, as public television, public broadcasting has reported, they did merge in in December of 2013, just a few weeks ago. And what we do as the filing, receiving, and recording agency is we check to make sure that they are in good standing. A certificate of existence shows that you're in good standing as a business. Do they have that? Have they paid their taxes? Are they in good standing with workers' comp? And as that merger was made, all of those three requirements were met, and that's why they were able to make that merger. You know, I personally am not happy with the impact that it has done to the people of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. The small businesses, the same ones that I'm helping, have been the ones who are hurt, who've lost revenue, and now we have a business and a company that would file bankruptcy and worry about its own assets first before the people of West Virginia.
What about in the bankruptcy? Does your office have any kind of duty or responsibility if one of these businesses does file for bankruptcy?
Well, the only thing we have is a filing of another company has been mentioned, but not when it comes to the bankruptcy process.
Okay, very good. You are interested in House Bill 4175, the Small Business Emergency Act. I think you just said why. It provides relief for businesses in the 9-county state of emergency area after the water situation. You're also very concerned about those employees who couldn't go to work for a few days because their business couldn't operate.
It's so unconscionable that even two weeks to today that this has taken place, and there are a whole lot more answers or questions that need answered. And I, as someone who promotes business, who wants to lift up business because it helps everyone in West Virginia, the businesses, the workers, the small businesses especially, and that's why I've been so vocal about this, because I was on the water lines as people were waiting in line patiently to get their buckets in their jugs filled, that the manager of the Shoney's in Quincy was helping out her friends and neighbors because her restaurant was closed because they weren't making any money. Think about the employees who work on minimum wage. If they're not working that day, they're not getting paid to be able to pay the utilities or be able to pay their rent. And that's why I've also asked the governor, since this is a federal emergency, we have the ability in West Virginia to ask for disaster unemployment assistance from the federal government, and we should be asking for that for the employees of West Virginia and for the small businesses. And that's why this legislation that you talk about, I testified in front of the House Small Business Committee saying that because it's asking for an emergency, an ability for agencies, the governor to allow agencies to promulgate emergency rules, those emergency rules go through Secretary of State's office. So I'm on the front end of this for this particular piece of legislation so we can move it through as quickly as possible to help these small businesses and these minimum wage employees.
Well, House Bill 4175 is in a little trouble in the Senate. They're still talking about it, but they complained yesterday that it was too vague, but they're continue to talk about it and will continue to report on it.
Yes.
Natalie Tennant, Secretary of State, I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today. Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 4264 to create the Compassionate Use Act for Medical Cannabis, Medical Marijuana. House Bill 4269 to create a task force on the prevention of sexual abuse of children within the Center for Professional Development. House Bill 4271 permits a person to transport concealed firearms in a private motor vehicle or private boat without the necessity of having a concealed deadly weapons permit. House Bill 4273 to permit co-owners of cows to receive raw milk from those cows. House Bill 4274 to permit the sale of raw milk effective January 1st, 2015. House Bill 4277 to require registration and inventory of existing above-ground storage tanks and to direct the Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection to report the inventory to the legislature. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2020, relating to conditions of bond for defendants in cases of crimes between family or household members, and House Bill 2477, to permit certain auxiliary lighting on motorcycles. On second reading, the amendment stage, House Bill 4006, to amend the defined crimes and penalties imposed by West Virginia law related to the possession and distribution of child pornography. The bill also creates enhanced penalties for offenders who intentionally view, possess, distribute, or transmit a large quantity of such images. This bill was recommended for passage by the House Select Committee for Crimes Against Children.
House Bill 4177, the governor's bill to provide supplemental appropriations for the Human Rights Commission, the Adjutant General, the State Police, and the Department of Veterans Assistance. And House Bill 4182, another of the governor's bills to provide supplemental appropriations to the Auditor's Office, the State Board of Rehabilitation, the Division of Health, the Medical Services Trust Fund, the Racing Commission, and the Public Service Commission. This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, Ashton Mara is your host as she welcomes two of our colleagues from the Capitol Press Corps, Dave Boucher, the State House reporter for the Charleston Daily Mail, along with Jonathan Matisse, the State House reporter for the Associated Press. They'll discuss the issues and events occurring at the Capitol this week. We welcome your comments. You can reach us at feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and like us on Facebook. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org. And by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at wvaflcio.org. I'm Jeff Sander. A reminder, in case you tuned in late, hear podcasts of the Legislature Today on our website, wvpublic.org. And you can also watch it later tonight on West Virginia PBS at 11:30, as well as weeknights at 6:30. Again, on West Virginia PBS and West Virginia Public Radio.